Well, it's my privilege today to preach, and I promise I'm going to let you out enough time that you can have some time to get refreshments and eat and then be back for our important meeting this afternoon. I encourage you to do your best to be here, praise God. And I'm gonna do my best to get in the chute and out. I'm going to be like the Kentucky Derby. Just about as soon as they get the last horse in, they're off. And by the way, there are a lot of brokenhearted people this morning and a lot of poor old broke people. I know it was a shame, but just the way it is, praise God. And so my love for the Lord and my worship unto the Lord is not predicated on whether I won or lost in the Kentucky Derby yesterday. I'll let you know I didn't either, just in case you was wondering, you know. I do wish I'd had a few shekels on that horse that won, though. Praise God. But I know it's important, and I want you to be able to be refreshed and to be back here. It's my honor to preach today, and it's my honor to conduct this election. In John chapter 9, there is a story of a man that was born blind. In the beginning of the chapter, the disciples were with Jesus, and the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 9 that the Lord passed by, and he saw the man that was blind. And so the disciples said, "We've been wanting to ask you for a long time, Master, who sinned? Who did wrong? Somebody had to have done wrong. His parents or the man? Somebody had to be punished." Jesus says in verse 3, "Neither. Nobody. This man didn't sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." Sin entered this world in the Garden of Eden. And all of us, at some point in our life, suffer because of sin. We either cause it, we inherit it, or it comes our way. And he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." And he thus spoke. He decided he'd play mud cakes. Anybody ever played mud cakes? Come on, let's have a little confession out here. How many has never played mud cakes? You don't know. You missed a lot of fun. Make some mud cakes and then throw them at each other. That's a lot of fun. Then you get to take a shower. Jesus did something real gross. He spit on the ground and made some mud cakes and put them in the blind man's eyes and said, "Now, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam. Go wash in verse 7 in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sin. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. How do you find the pool of Siloam? Somebody took him there, you know. So here's what I want to preach about today. This is my subject. It's not why, but how. Amen. Now, life itself is filled with a lot of why. I asked my mother, "Why can't I do this? Why can't I go barefooted?" Sometimes she'd say, "Because you'll catch cold, or you don't need to." And sometimes I'd ask my mama why, and she said, "I'm not going to give you any why. If you don't shut up, I'll give you some why, and it's called my house shoe." Amen. But we ask that, for what reason or what purpose is this happening, or did this happen, or this way? You know, you turn the corner and you have a fender bender and you're wondering, why didn't I turn left when I turned right? We're notorious for leaving the house and coming right back. Our neighbors probably call us come and go Siemens. Sometimes we'll say, "Well, you know, maybe we avoided an accident." You just never really know. But we live with a lot of whys, then we live with the how. In what way or in what manner you know, it's we question. Even I have questioned God. Can you believe that Glenn Seaman questioned God? Yeah. Now, I know you never had that problem, and you never questioned God, and you'd be afraid to question God. But I promise you, when my granddaughter was ill and when she died, I asked God hundreds of times, why is this happening this way? And you know what the Lord did? Until this morning at 10 after 11, he still hasn't answered why. And if he did, I probably wouldn't understand anyhow. But I have learned to build on the outcome of the whys in my life. You see, this story is starting out as a bad story. The gentleman was born blind. He never knew what it was to see. He didn't know what it was like to see the leaves begin to come on the trees in the spring. And oh, how beautiful. And you know, we love to look at redbud trees and how beautiful it was driving up here and seeing some redbud trees. He had no idea what a redbud tree looked like. You know, he didn't know what red, he didn't know the difference between red and blue and black and white and orange. He didn't have a favorite color. He had no color because he could see no color. All he knew was darkness. All he knew was blindness. All he knew, he had to have help to get along. The blind man was about to have some good results. He was fixing to have no more idleness. He is fixing to have no more emptiness. It was because the reason he was blind is Jesus saying, well, there was going to come a day that I was going to come by him and I was going to show forth my glory, and I'm going to tell you the why, and I'm going to tell you in the how. It's where I can receive glory and that I can work the works of the glory of God in this man's life. And I'm not telling you why it happened, but since it happened, and since I'm here, I'm going to bless him. I don't know what all's going on in your life. I do not know all the whys. But since why happened, and since you're here today, God wants to give you some how. He wants to lift you. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to strengthen you and provide you. Paul said, where sin abound, grace does much more abound. You see, Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. They permitted sin into this world. Yes, there are mishaps in childbirth. Yes, there are mishaps in the life as it goes along and as it transpires. But the grace of God abounds in our lives more and more every day. Jesus is the chief physician. When I had the heart attack in June of 17, I'm sorry to speak personally, but I only know about the things that's happened to me. And I had a preacher friend, Brother Harold Wilson. I think he's probably a preacher here for you folks. He come to visit with me, and we've been friends for so long, we forgot how long. And he did something so unusual that day, but it struck home. We got ready to pray. He just reached over and took my hand, and he didn't start praying, God, I want you to heal my friend, and I want you to heal his heart, and you know how we pray, guide the physicians, and so forth. He just simply said, for the whole time we prayed, Jesus, you're the healer. Jesus, you are the healer. You not was the healer. You're not going to be the healer. You are the healer. Jesus is the physician who never shakes his head and says, there is nothing else that we can do. I have stood in hospital rooms. I've stood by beds, and I've watched the doctor shake their head that they can do. They have done all that medicine can do, and now it's in the hands of God. But Jesus never shakes his head. He said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Seaman. I know what you're fixing to say. I'm going to tell you like I told the gentleman I pastored. I'm going to tell you like I told him, and I believe this with all my heart. Jesus is the healer. His brother was sick with cancer. And I told him, I said, Jim, God's going to heal Ronnie. I know that, Brother Seaman. I said, no, God's going to heal Ronnie. I believe that. I said, no, you don't get it, Jim. God may not heal him like we want him to be healed. Hello? Come on now. Don't go home yet. I still got a little time left. But he is going to heal him. Amen. God took him to glory. He gave him the maximum healing. Yeah, we want to keep people on this earth. And I'm not trying to get out of here. I want to stay as long as the Lord will let me stay. Amen. One of these days, God's going to heal my heart that I can eat all the fried chicken and pecan pie that I want to eat. Pardon this Oakdale Southern boy vernacular. There ain't gonna be no calories and cholesterol and triglycerides in glory. Somebody help me right now. Can I get some? Oh, y'all not gonna help me preach today. Y'all just gonna sit there, amen. I'm telling you, it's not why it's happening to me. It's how God is going to receive some glory, amen. How you doing, Brother Seaman? I'm able to put one foot in front of the other. I was able to sit up and take nourishment this morning. I had breakfast. I'm able to come to the house of God. And there are a lot of whys in my life, but there are also a lot the house that God is getting glory and blessing and baptizing. Amen. You see, evil, there's a lot of evil in this world. Amen. I told Sister Seaman, I cut on an app on my iPad this morning after I got ready to come over here. And first thing popped up over in the corner was a shooting downtown Indianapolis. They shot four people. I said, you know, there used to be a day we'd go downtown Indianapolis, walk around fee-free, never even think about taking a gun. I don't hold a pistol, but if I was going downtown, if I'm going to be a regular customer downtown, I'm going to be a pistol-packing papaw. Hello. Amen. Praise God. But see, evil gives Jesus a chance to manifest his works. Since man fell, I want to show forth my works. Amen. You see, Jesus puts mud in his eyes. He went and washed. Amen. He came, when he got down in that pool, and I looked up a picture of it on YouTube. Praise God. Thank God for, you know what the computer did for me? It reduced my library. Oh, I thought I had it with me. Guess what? I got this little old doojigger right here. Man, I wish we'd have had these when I was in high school. We could have gotten a bunch more trouble than what we got into. I can find good and evil here, but I choose to find the good. So I looked up this picture and where Jesus sent him to wash. And I found out that it was during the days of Hezekiah that it was dug out and what they used it for. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a little while. But, you know, the disciples was trying to catch. Now, all you politically correct people, shut your ears right now, okay? And all you folks out there listening, you can shut your ears too, but I'm going to say it. They were trying to catch Jesus in an era like they're trying to catch the president in an era. Now, he might be wrong. I don't know. I don't live his life. I just expect him to be my president. And the Bible does encourage me to pray for him. So whether I like him or dislike him is immaterial. It's what the Bible says. Amen. He's the president. And so they were always trying to catch him. And they said to his parents, is this your son? Well, they were kind of afraid to answer, because if they said yes and they said that Jesus did heal him, they'd kick him out of the synagogue. So I'm thinking, well, I don't know whether I want to stand up for him. Boy, what I want is important to go to the synagogue. And they kept telling, you know, and he said, well, what happened? So, well, we don't know. He was blind. He's been blind from birth, blah, blah, blah. He got healed. And they said, well, ask him. He's older. He's of age. Let's just say he was, what, 21? You got to be 21 for something, 18 for others. You know how it is. All you 12 years old going on 15 think you're 18. Some of y'all didn't get that. I got a little philosophy about raising teenagers. Y'all want to hear it? How many don't want to hear it? All the teenagers, when they get 13, You dig a hole in the backyard and bury them. And resurrect them about the time they're 17. Oh, I remember Kimberly Ann, or Kimberly Jane as we call her. I remember that night in that bedroom in Brownstown when I said something to her, and she gave me that look, and I thought, I've done that before. It's a wonder my mama didn't kill me, because I wanted to come out of bed and just, you know, give her a good whipping. I told her when she was up in her 30s one time, I said, I feel like just turning you over my lap and spanking you. She laughed, said, yeah. She knew I'd do it if she did wrong. Amen. But that's, he's old enough to answer. He knows what happened. Well, what happened to you? He said, well, this man come along and he made some mud cakes and he put them in my eyes and sent me to the Pool of Siloam, and I went and I'm washed, and now I can see it. Now I'm going to praise God, because it's not why, it's how. The first time I ever, this statement is not original with me, but I heard a man make this statement, my preacher, my pastor, way back in about 1970 or 71. We had come in, just give me a moment here. We come in for a few days of rest from evangelizing. We're staying with him. And he said, Glenn, I got to go to the hospital. You want to go with me? I'm going to get to the store real quick. I said, okay, let's go. And on the way to the hospital, he told me, I said, we're going to visit a family named Lyons, L-Y-N-O-S. They've been coming to the church about 4 months. He said they came from a neighboring church, and I will not discuss who that was for, you know, not, I don't want to cast stones in that area. They came in, they've been driving by our church, just felt that the Lord had something else for them. They come in, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, been living for God, paying their tithes, being great saints of God. But she had cancer when they came, and said to this morning, God hadn't healed her. We walked in the hospital room, literally the hospital room, when she took her last breath. I helped the family call some loved ones to tell them about it. We had the funeral, so we're going to be there. He said, why don't you preach for us, Wednesday night? I said, okay, I will. So we go to the funeral, we go to the cemetery, and me and Brother Creel go to church early to cut the lights on, the air conditioning, and unlock the church. Guess who's in the altar at 6:45? You got it. Brother Lyons, his boy, and his young daughter. They had just been through the loss of their wife and mother. But yet it wasn't why. It was how God was going to receive glory. Praise God. Now, as Paul Harvey says, or used to say, the rest of the story. There was a lady in the church named Sister Hollis. Her husband was the greatest Sunday school worker I ever known in my life, and he had passed away. Well, as time would have it and went on, they were attracted to each other like bees and flowers. And they got married and lived happily ever after. Now, they would have rather not gone through all that to get to where they're at, but they realized that God was making a way. So what are you going to do? I'm going to give God praise. He sent him to the Pool of Siloam, to this spring outside of Jerusalem. It literally means sending forth. Amen. There was a ritual that took place during the feast, the 8 days of the Feast of the Tabernacle. One of the priests would come out with a golden urn. He would reach down into that pool and get some water and walk back into the tabernacle and pour that water out on the west side of that altar. At the same time, another priest would pour out wine on the east side of the altar, signifying the drink offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does Isaiah said? It says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. What they were saying here and doing here is, we have joy, going to have joy in the Lord. Now I know at the Day of Atonement they pushed the sins forward, but at Calvary, Jesus reached back and grabbed every one of those sins and brought them current and put them under the blood. And today, he reaches forward and gets everything wrong in our lives. We're still pouring out the water. We're still pouring out the oil. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. I noticed today when the music started, you know, can I tell you what this? Now, you honky-tonk people, sit up straight, put both feet on the floor and hands on your desk. You don't want nobody to know nobody did this but Brother Seaman. We had a place in Oakdale called the Youth Center. It was at the drive-in theater. You could watch the movie or you could dance for 50 cents every Friday and Saturday night. Pretty cheap, wasn't it? And so we had this band. My favorite band was the Boogie Kings. And they would come and that you would hear them. They'd get the sticks and they'd go, one, one, two, three. And they would start the music. And we just all stood around like, I don't know why we, what's this band here for? No, you got a partner and got on the dance floor. What happened this morning when the music started? Immediately people begin to raise their hands and draw water from the wells of salvation. They begin to sing. They begin to magnify. We begin to praise the Lord. We begin to give glory unto the Lord God Almighty. You know what Jesus did? And the day when he was there during the Feast of Tabernacles, he waited to the eighth day because on the eighth day, this excites me. I'm going to have to be careful right here or I'll jump off this platform. Praise God. And I can't do that. And I'm not supposed to do that. And I promised I wouldn't do that. So I'm going to live by my word. They didn't draw any water that day out of the well. They didn't pour out any oil. And that was when Jesus stood in John 7 and 37. And he began to cry and say unto them, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the future. He said, I'm not yet glorified. But guess what? On this May 5th, 2019, Jesus has been glorified. Therefore, with joy, you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. Be baptized in the name of the Lord. Receive the Holy Ghost. Walk on with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, here's something else they did. I almost forgot this. I almost forgot the most exciting part. As they were getting the water, taking it up to the altar, they recited from Psalms 113, and I'm not going to read it all through 115, the Halle. And this is what, it's like songs to them. Psalms 113 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye saints of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. 115 and verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Verse 11, ye shall fear that the Lord, trust in the Lord is their help and it is their shield. Psalms 116, verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call on the name of the Lord as long as I live. Whew. These are things they were singing and reciting, shouting while the offering was going to be poured out. Praise God. Verse 15 of 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. First chapter 117, the whole chapter. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. What are you going to praise him for? I'm going to praise him for his merciful kindness. Is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Do you kind of think they were praising the Lord? When the music started, they just weren't sitting there like old Kalijah. Poor old Kalijah. Never got a kiss. Poor old Kalijah, you don't know what you missed. Amen. I like that kissing with Sister Seaman. You should like the same with your wife. Did you get what I said? Your wife. Do I need to get plainer? Not somebody else's. going back to where you come from. I am tomorrow. But when it was feast time, you know, feast to me is like a smorgasbord. I go by a good smorgasbord and I'm praying, Lord, don't let me hurt myself. I've never seen a good smorgasbord I didn't like yet. Let me read some more. Psalms 118, verse 21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Oh, this is what I really like. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We. Look at your neighbor and said, he's talking about me and you. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, verse 29, and oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his good and his mercy endureth forever. I need to try to land this B-52. You know, some preachers are like a helicopter. Psh, they're up and down, and I'm kind of like that B-52. Might take me a little while to get going. It takes me a long time to stop. Praise God. He's of age. What happened here? He just told me to go wash. He answered whether he, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is, one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I can see. What's wrong with that? Oh, he must be a sinner. Only a sinner could do that. No, only God could do that. Only God can do that. Praise God. He cast him out. They answered him and said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou not teach us? And they cast him out. Not going to let him be in the synagogue, but he's still going to praise the Lord. I went to an altar one night, praise God, and my heart wasn't right. But when I left that altar, my heart was right with God. I was filled with the Spirit of God, already been baptized in the Lord, filled with God's Spirit. Now, I've had a lot of whys and hows. If you've never had a why in your life, you better come to grips with the truth. Oh, somebody help me out now. I'm almost through, so don't quit on me, okay? I can't stand it when people quit before I quit, because no, you're a great audience. You always have been. Praise God. I've seen things in my life, like I said, that I wondered about. Heard the story just recently. This true story that's happened in Mississippi. Brother Tommy Kraft. There was a lady in a church that was passing away. She's some 50 a little years old. Her and her husband had raised their grandson. He's now 10 years old. She's dying. I don't mean, I'm not on cancer kick today, folks. Please forgive me. If you're here with cancer, I know what it's like to have cancer. I am a thus far cancer survivor to this day in my life. Praise God. I thank the Lord for it. Praise the Lord. I know what it's like to go through the treatment. I know what it's like for the doctor to mention the C word to you. It's like he could have knocked me over with a wet noodle. I understand all that stuff. I've been there and done that. I'm giving glory to God. So this husband, which was actually the grandpa, was trying to explain to the 10-year-old grandson, who he had called mom and dad, and I don't remember the reason they had him, trying to explain to him what's happening. So he goes through all this. You know, mom's been real sick, and she's very sick. And for mom to get better, she's going to need to go be with Jesus. He didn't know what to say. And he got all done. And the little boy looked up and he said, but God did nothing wrong. Y'all didn't hear me. But God did nothing wrong. God is not a wrong God. God is not doing wrong in your life if you're asking why. God is putting the pieces of the puzzle together in your life, praise God. What's happening in your life is just another piece. You know, you put those jigsaw puzzles together, there's 1,000 pieces. I'm not good at that. Sister Seaman and Nathan, my son, they are. And I look at it, I think it's exciting, and I give up because I can't get anything to fit. And I wonder sometime why this is fitting. But God says, this fits Glenn Seaman right now in your life. This is the piece of puzzle I'm putting together, and I'm going to bring another piece, and I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to put it together. And when it's all put together, it's a beautiful object and a beautiful story and a beautiful glory, praise God. God doesn't do anything wrong. Praise God. And in closing, God's not doing anything wrong in your life. He's just working it out to a far more weight of glory. You can't see the puzzle's not put all together. You can't see it right now. You don't know. But God is coming. In fact, God will get, come here, brother. Come here. God will take you. Come here. Come here, help me out real quick. Can you get up this platform? Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Come on. Praise God. Come here. Put your hand right there. Praise God. You put your piece of puzzle right there. Praise God. That's right there. Praise the Lord. Right there. Your piece of puzzle. I'm going to put my piece of puzzle together. And the threefold cord is not easily broken. God's going to put it all together. You know what God is doing to Warsaw? You can go sit down. He's just putting the puzzle together. He's just putting it all together. Praise God. You can't see it. And you don't know it. But God knows what he's doing. Because God does not make any mistakes. Daddy, you're not doing anything wrong, Daddy Jesus. God did nothing wrong, and he is not going to do anything wrong. Y'all better stand with me before I preach a little while longer. I'm serious. Praise God. Amen. Just give me a few more minutes here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Everything God does. Who did sin, Master? Somebody had to have sinned. Must have been sin in Daddy's life. He must have done something horribly wrong. Mama, what kind of sin did you commit before you married this man? You must have been one more person. And what did you do, blind man, to come out of the womb and you couldn't see? I have compassion for, and I really do, for people handicapped. But I have extreme compassion for the blind. See, if I close my eyes, I got a pretty good idea how to walk. But if I've never seen this platform before, to have a stick where they're tapping. So today, you're tapping. I don't know where this is going to lead me, God. There's nothing right there. Okay, I can go. Just tapping. I keep tapping. I keep tapping. Until all of a sudden, I bump into somebody like the blind man. And it's Jesus. And he says, all you have to do is go and wash. All you have to do is make an altar where you're at, come to the front of the church, allow someone to baptize you in Jesus' name, allow some minister to take some oil and dab it on his finger, and you say, that's so ridiculous, but the Word of God says it. And that the prayer of faith would save the sick. Why can't we raise our hands right now Come on, right now, let's start talking to the Lord. This is our altar service. Come on, folks. Help me right now in the name of Jesus. Help me in the name of Jesus. Help us right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you feel you need to pray, we open this altar unto you right now. Praise God. You can step forward or you can stand where you're at and you can lift your hands and you can give glory unto the Lord and you can magnify God Almighty. You can say, Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise in the name of Jesus. I give you praise in the name of the Lord. I need you right now, Jesus. I need a healing right now, Lord. I need a touch of God in my life. I need you to open my eyes, open my heart, open my spirit today, Lord. Help me to step into the water today, Lord Jesus. Let me haul off and just give you a mighty praise. Let me glorify you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Come on and give praise unto God today. Somebody give glory unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, mighty Lord, help us right today, dear God. Help us this day, oh Lord. We need your touch, Jesus. Praise God.